This is Sharon Levitt of the Tyndale Momentum Book Team at Tyndale House Publishers. I'm talking today with Laura Lee Craker about her new book, Anne of Green Gables, My Daughter and Me, what my favorite book taught me about grace, belonging, and the orphan in us all. Laura Lee is an author of several books, including A is for Atticus, Baby Names from Great Books, Money Secrets of the Amish, and the New York Times bestseller, Through the Storm with Lynn Spears. Anne of Green Gables, My Daughter and Me, is her 13th book. Laura Lee is also a freelance journalist, blogger, and speaker, and her work has been featured in many media outlets, including the Wall Street Journal, Time, and People. Laura Lee lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan, with her husband Doyle and their three children, Jonah, Ezra, and Phoebe. Welcome, Laura Lee. Thanks for taking some of your precious summer vacation out to talk with me.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, it's a pleasure. Well, let's start off by asking what it was that compelled you to write your book. I mean, you're really busy with three kids, teenagers in elementary, and then you somehow found time to write this book. What was it that just really compelled you to write it?
Well, I think the first spark, if I can put it that way, was a few years ago, a book came out called The Wilder Life, which is a memoir about Laura Ingalls Wilder and the Little House in the Prairie books and what they meant to the author, Wendy McClendon, I think her name is. Wendy McClure, that's her name. And so I looked at that book, and I read it, and I marveled at it, that this author was able to really incorporate into her own life so seamlessly her favorite book and what influence that book had on her. And I thought to myself, well, my favorite book forever is Anne of Green Gables. What can I do with that story? How can I weave that into my own story? And then a little while later, my then 7-year-old daughter Phoebe and I were together at bedtime, and I was reading her a children's version of Anne of Green Gables. And she stopped me suddenly, and she said, "Mama, what's an orphan?" And that to me was a huge spark, and I knew it was a big question, and I answered her, and I talked about how Anne was an orphan, how I had been an orphan because I'm adopted, and how she was also an orphan because she had been adopted by myself and my husband 7 years earlier from South Korea.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the story evolved with how this ended up becoming the book, but you share a lot of stories in the book, and I loved the way you did what Wendy McClure did, and you were really able to weave your story and Phoebe's story into Anne of Green Gables. Well, many of the stories illustrated a lot of points, but the one that I'm wondering about, could you just share a common orphan issue that orphans need to overcome, one of the stories from your book?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, for one thing, people think orphans they have this picture in their mind of, you know, a spindly, malnourished child, you know, on the streets of Mumbai or something like that. But so many of us have felt orphaned. And what I mean by that is we have felt like we're not enough. And this is a very common issue, and it's common to people who are adopted, common to people who maybe are children of divorce. We've all been orphaned and abandoned in some way. And so for me, one of the key core issues was not feeling like I was enough. I wasn't smart enough, I wasn't pretty enough, I wasn't enough. And I think this is just common to humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know in the book you tell about what was really a difficult situation and above all things, a Christian school. Can you talk about a little bit about that? What happened when you were, was it middle school or junior high?
Yes. Well, Well, it was back in the day, of course, it was called junior high, and now it's called middle school. But it happened in eighth grade, or grade eight, as we call it in Canada, where I grew up. And there was a girl who was a friend of mine from church. And we ended up, we had gone to different elementary schools, but we were friends at church. We went to Pioneer Girls together, and we sat together at Sunday school, and there's pictures of us holding hands at the church picnic type of thing. So then in middle school, or junior high, we suddenly found ourselves at the same school. And it was very interesting, because instantly it was sort of a competition. Who would win? Who would have more boys like them? Who would be more popular, et cetera? And very quickly, she began to win. And she just had, I don't know, a quality of power or whatever it was that she exuded, that of dominance, I guess, that suddenly I was just more and more diminished, and she was more and more powerful. So what had ended up happening is she just kind of started excluding me, and because she was so powerful, she got a lot of other people to exclude me as well. So it was kind of the classic, you know, mean girl bullying kind of situation, although we didn't have that language in 1981 or 82 or whenever it was. So so that did not do my my orphan issues any favors by any stretch of the imagination. However, because we serve a redeeming God, you know, he is making all things new, and he really redeemed that situation and pointed my heart towards him.
Yeah. When you were going through that, Laurelee, did you link it to the fact that you were adopted? I mean, did you feel like, maybe this wouldn't be that way if I, you know, if I weren't adopted? You know, did you feel that way in any way, or was it just hurt?
Well, the interesting thing is, she was adopted as well. So, so probably at the time, I did not connect those dots at all. And now, of course, I'm 47. I look back. I have so much more, you know, knowledge of the world, and my faith is so much stronger, et cetera. So, you know, I would look at that very differently now. However, at the time, I had no, you know, I didn't really have the self-awareness, I guess, to think that that it sort of, it hurt me in a way that someone is hurt when they're kicked in a place that's already bruised. So that's kind of what that felt like when this this former friend of mine just started excluding me.
Yeah, the rejection and the abandonment, you know, once again, yeah, those wounds that you just get, you're healed, and then all they have to do is just have a little scratch and it can come pouring out again. And, you know, it seems like when I hear adoption stories, and I'm sure the listeners feel this way too, they all have their own unique flavor and particulars. You know, maybe it's an overseas adoption like Phoebe, or, you know, the woman down the street who, she and her husband weren't able to have children, and so they adopt, you know, maybe a child from an unwed mother through their pregnancy center, or, you know, there's all these different stories, and they all seem to really touch our hearts. You shared some vulnerable pieces of your story, and was there anything that new that you discovered as you wrote your story, because you've lived it, but then when you write it, it becomes new in a whole new way. Was there anything new that you discovered that touched you with a new tenderness or awareness?
Oh, absolutely. And I think everybody should write a book about their story, whether it's published or not, because you do learn so much in the process of writing that somehow just, you know, gleans these insights and these truths that you never knew before, to that kind of brings them to the surface. So I would say one of the main things was, you know, really, further on in the book, I have an encounter with my birth father, and I had no contact whatsoever with him for 45 years, and I finally get up the courage to write him a letter, and the letter I write is incredibly warm and invitational, and very much like, you know, here are my children, your grandchildren. However, there was also a tone of, you know, I don't need another dad. I don't really need anything from you. I just want the chance to get to know you. Well, within a couple of weeks, I got a letter back, and it was a very fat envelope. So I thought, well, that's a good sign. And I opened it up, and it actually was a very cold, heartless letter and very businesslike, and it almost felt like it was a business transaction or he was giving me his resume or something. It was very strange, very detached from, you know, miles away from the warm letter that I had written him. As warm as mine was to him, his was cold towards me. So, you know, for me, that was it was devastating. It was surprisingly devastating because I thought, well, no matter what happens, I can handle it. And of course I did handle it with God's help, but yet I was surprised at how painful that actually was, even at the age of 45. And so writing about it and kind of interacting with it in that way and, you know, bringing in different people's insights into birth fathers and whatnot really helped me kind of make sense of that experience, which was very painful. But I believe writing the book just, you know, kind of helped me connect those dots in a new way.
Mm-hmm. So as part of your continued healing, as we, you know, always continue to do, we heal and grow. I took a class once, a writing class, and one of the quotes that really stood out to me was, we don't write to tell what we know. We write to learn what we know. And it's what you're saying, you know,
wow.
You write your
own
story, you're opening up all sorts of things because you're allowing space to actually think about your life. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to resonate with your story. And as you wrote the book, were you thinking of a particular audience?
Definitely. I was thinking about several different kinds of readers that I was really just writing to. The first group, I would say, would be adoptive moms. So often, you know, I meet these adoptive moms and they're friends of mine, and or I'll meet them at a speaking engagement that I have or a retreat or something, and their hearts are for their children. And but in some ways they don't understand, you know, what it's like to be adopted. I mean, you just can't really understand that unless you are adopted yourself. So for me, I really hope that this touches and heals the heart of the adoptive mom. I mean, that is my greatest wish, that the adoptive mom will read my story and Phoebe's story and Anne's story and, you know, help her, that will help her make sense of her own story with her child and just, you know, help her connect those dots. A second audience is just Anne of Green Gables fans, just mm-hmm. fanatics like myself. And so many people have kind of come out of the woodwork as I've been in this process of writing this book and now coming out with it, that have just said, oh, you know, Anne just means so much to me. And just to kind of bond with all of those Anne freaks out there that I know they're out there, and they've been out there for over 100 years, and just kind of really connect on the fact that, you know, she's the greatest character in all of literature in my mind. She's just so hilarious and mm-hmm. hopeful and sweet and open-hearted. And I just would love to connect with people on that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know in your research you got to do a little traveling too, which was fun for you, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I got to go to absolutely gorgeous, idyllic, perfect Prince Edward Island. I could add more adjectives if you would like. And that to me was just, I went twice actually in the course of this whole process, and once with my family and once with a girlfriend, and both times were just memorable, and I'm just asking myself, how can I get myself out there?
Well, maybe they can have a convention or something up there.
I know. I'm very available for that.
Yes,
for that,
seems, well,
you know,
that's
possibility.
Your next project. That's your next project. Really, that would
I would
be
drop
great.
Absolutely anything, almost to just about anything, to go to PEI again. So I believe that I will go soon, sooner than later.
Yeah. Oh, it makes me want to go too. It makes me want to watch the series again too, the series. But anyway, we'll just not get into that right now. But I do want to just say that for those listening, you can find out more about Laura Lee and the book if you visit her website, which is lauraleecraker.com. You can also pre-order Anna Green Gables, My Daughter and Me, online now. And the books will be on shelves everywhere they're sold in September 2015. So almost here for everybody to get. I would encourage you to read this book if you want a whimsical but also poignant look at what it's like to be an orphan. And if you've never thought of yourself as an orphan, to know that we all have those same issues of not being enough, and we can look to Anne as somebody who overcame so much. It's very hopeful. Laura Lee, I just want to thank you for your time, and hope you have a wonderful rest of the summer, what's left of it, and we'll look forward to seeing your books everywhere books are sold in just a month. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sharon. It was my pleasure.
Oh, thanks a lot. Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.